Good morning and welcome to the local spotlight here at WJBM Studio. This morning I have back my Tarrant and Harmon group, Jonathan Prenn, Nick Kane, and Travis Tarrant. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I got that right?
That time?
I did. Yeah. Good for me. And today, guys, I'd like to touch on something, all right, that affects a lot of people, especially as we grow older in age, like I do, like I am. You have property. You know, there's a lot of people that have, you accumulate property over the years. It's an investment, you know, it's maybe for your retirement, et cetera. And you get in a situation where you have a will. You know you'll be leaving this earth sometime, and it's going to go to your children. You know, and the last thing that I want is for my children to have relationships that go sour because of me leaving whatever I'm leaving. Do you got any answers for that? Because that is always, however you slice it and dice it, you know, the main thing is you want to give it to them, but you don't want them fighting about it. And it's hard to make everybody happy. You know that.
Well, full disclosure, none of us here are lawyers, and we are not acting as lawyers.
He's right there.
Yeah.
But in those scenarios, we do the best we can to try to keep everyone happy. And
well, I'm not asking for any law advice.
No.
We do refer to lawyers very often.
And we work with lawyers every, if not every day, very close to that.
Yes.
So. Yes. Yes. Okay, well, any suggestions on which route to go?
I think I could speak to that with, you know, with our experience, which is pretty thorough as far as this type of situation goes, because the history of Tarrant Harmon is the merging of real estate an auction service, which typically is derived from, you know, estate type situations. So ever since we started in 2010, this has been something that we deal with, you know, quite often. So I would say that the most important thing for families to be mindful of is to not only have a plan, but to verbalize that plan to the family. You know, I mean, so many times we deal with sales of real estate assets where there is a will or there is direction on what is to happen, and it's in writing, but nobody ever talked about it. You know what I mean? They didn't sit down, and dad didn't sit down, or mom, and say, hey, you know, here's what we have. I mean, there's sometimes where the kids didn't even know what real estate that, I mean, we're doing, it's like a treasure hunt trying to figure out, you know, what properties we're even dealing with. So again, and sometimes you can't, you know, things happen that are unforeseen, and you can't, you know, you can't address that. But if you can, by all means, be open about it. You know, while you're around to discuss it, have a conversation with everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, detailed plan is always the best way to go about it,
for sure.
So are you suggesting, okay, for example, like, you know, someone in a situation where you have a lot of different diversified properties, you know, what do you think? Have an auction and basically put everything up for auction?
Well, the first thing I would say to what these guys have is don't wait. Everybody, you know, even us at our age, we're like, well, you know, we're not going anywhere anytime quick, but you really don't know.
You don't
right?
know.
You need to, as soon as you start growing a portfolio of assets, you need to have a plan in place with an attorney. You need to start that, get that ball rolling. So that's number one, is yeah. getting that ball rolling.
Okay. Well, what's a fair way, though, so everybody comes out happy?
Well, what we will do is you know, when our company is engaged to, you know, liquidate assets for a family or you know, for an estate, a living estate, you know, that happens often too. So We just look at if you have a diversified portfolio, there's not really the perfect recipe for the whole portfolio. So we'll kind of dissect it like, okay, well, you know, Chris owns some residential units over here. He's got this farm, up in Greene County that he's had for however many years. And then we've got their primary residence, and he also owns the radio station. You know, how are we going to deal with that? Well, each one of those has its own recipe for the highest and best use, and how we would go about getting you or the family top dollar for that particular asset.
So would you just do separate auctions on the property? Is that
very
what you're thinking?
Very well could be, yeah. And we may not do auctions on all of it. A lot of times auctions are not the best thing for commercial. So when we have an auction, we're trying to locate a ready, willing, and able buyer within 45 days, right? Well, the buyer for a radio station is not, every guy that drives by the road down here. You know what I mean? Like, we would have to be more specific about who's the right buyer for a radio station, and we would probably need
more
time.
Not that I'm wanting to sell the radio.
Yeah, right, yeah. The radio station is not for
sale. I just got it.
But when you look at, your residential stuff, yeah, you could auction some of that. And then when you get to land, 9 times out of 10, that's an auction deal too.
Yeah, and you gotta, as far as the diversification, to add on to what Travis is saying there, a lot of the scenarios that we see as well in our business in this side of things with the wills and the kids is when you diversify like that, you may have one kid that is here and working alongside of you in that one niche, right? We see it a lot in the farming world where you've got one son or daughter that farms with their father and the other ones live somewhere else.
Ooh, I know.
So in a lot of instances in that type of deal, or if it's, say, the restaurant business or something else, somebody that one of the siblings works with you day in, day out. So where that, the importance of meeting with somebody early and laying this plan out pre- you just going away is these might be just arm's length transactions where it never sees anything, but any open market, the agreement is made amongst the siblings prior. Does that make sense? So
yes.
It doesn't ever see the open market or the auction, and that makes things a lot more calm when those things happen in that way instead of everybody arguing about them. So that's that's a big one.
Yeah,
that's a
big, because you know what happens, after the funeral, and you start going through things at the house,
right?
I wanted that.
Well, Tim,
where'd that go?
Well, Timmy might have worked for Dad for 20 years on the farm, and Joanne, his sister, might live in California, right? And she had nothing to do with the farm. Well, most likely, Dad's not gonna give every asset to the farm 50-50 to the two of them. Timmy is probably gonna come out a little bit higher on that end since he's got so much sweat equity put into it. So every scenario is different.
Yeah.
Well, and that's another service that we also offer with the Harmon side of Tarrant and Harmon, is they have the personal property auction house in Shipman and on Fosterburg Road in Alton. So they're able to take on a lot of the personal property that, the siblings or the heirs do not want, and look at selling the real estate after they dissolve the personal property.
Speaking of the auction house, when does that operate? I know it's seasonal, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the only time that they're not operating is in January or July, your coldest and your hottest months. So basically, they'll not have sales at those times, but
they're still working.
They're still working. They're still hauling estates and doing all those things. So it.
Now, the auction house runs on the same night every week?
Every week in Shipman, they have a sale on Tuesday, and then every other week in Alton, they have a sale on Thursday.
So. I see. Now, how does that work? You bring your stuff there, and it gets auctioned off, and what percentage goes to the auction house?
Yeah, so that's a variable rate, really. What I mean, if you bring a bunch of common household type items, your fee is going to be different than if you brought your Chevy pickup truck or whatever. So
I see.
It really that's kind of on a case by case basis. But they do, you know, they will offer a certain percentage for consignment. So if Chris, you know, packs up a trailer and brings it all to the auction barn and then they sell it, you know, that's a different rate than if Mark Harmon and his crew come to Chris's house and load it all up and then take it and sell it.
But they do provide that. They will come and pick up everything and take it to the auction house if you don't have the means to maybe do so.
And one thing that you know, again, back to the beginning of Tarrant Harmon, we got a lot of our business through the auction house, right? So, you know, Mark and his family would be at somebody's house and they're be loading up all the personal property, and then he could also, you know, get that as a listing, you know, like, hey, well, we can help you with the house, you know, in addition to the personal property. And that's kind of how we got our start. We used to really have to talk them into it. Now they kind of just go along with the groove now that they know who we are, right? But
yeah.
But anyway, one thing that we see people benefit from or enjoy this service is that we literally can handle all of it. So if you're in a situation where, you know, you've got a barn full of personal property and a house full of personal property and you got real estate to sell and you got this, that, and the other, all it takes is one phone call to Tarrant Harmon. We come do a site visit. We talk to you about what's going on. We'll do a walkthrough, look at all the personal property, tell you what sells, tell you what won't sell, give you an idea on value for the real estate. And you can literally let us handle the entire thing. A lot of times it's cumbersome, it's overwhelming when you have all these things to deal with, and you also have a life to live, right? You got your own family, mm-hmm. you live maybe somewhere else, you got a job. How are you gonna deal with all these things? Well, the Harmons, I have seen them do it time and time again, can literally clean out a house and a barn in a day.
It's amazing.
In a day.
It is amazing.
I mean, them guys can pack it all, everything, and there will not be one thing left that is not saleable. Now, there'll be some stuff that, you know, is not of any value, so they don't take it, and that needs to be put in a dumpster and whatnot. But anyway, they make very light work of it. So don't burden yourself with having to go through every single thing and figure out, you know, what, well, should I sell this or should I, what, you know, is this garbage? Whatever. Mark, over his, you know, well, they've been in the auction business 40 years, so they've seen everything sell more than once, right? So he could tell you what this microphone would bring or what the, you know, he deals with it every day. So,
How many people have you ever had at the auction? What kind of, how many people come usually, or what's the record number, or what brings them in?
Yeah, sure. Every Tuesday, you know, you're going to have 500 to 600 people there every Tuesday. I don't
every
care if
Tuesday.
It's raining, yeah. If it's snowing, it does
pretty
not
impressive.
Matter.
Pretty
right.
impressive.
Every so, Tuesday. 500
every Tuesday.
Shipping.
Yep. And they've got food, and it's, you know, it's actually a lot of fun.
It's kind of a festival.
It's, yeah, it is.
It's a lifestyle thing. It really is.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So bring your checkbook.
Bring the kids.
Oh, yeah. Bring the kids. Yeah. Family friendly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to touch on something, kind of change the subject a little bit. How about flipping houses versus keeping them and renting them, or flipping properties, you know, but usually you think houses, because you know that you've seen those shows about flipping houses. Mm-hmm. What are your opinion on that, Nick?
I think it's a good idea if you are good at paying attention to detail. Can do a lot of the work yourself.
That's a big one.
That's going to save you a lot of money. Because if you've got to pay somebody to do the work, it gets too expensive, and usually you end up either breaking even or a little bit upside down on flipping it.
And we brought it up on our last episode, involvement. Depends on how much you want to be involved.
How much you want to be involved. I think flipping is a good idea if you need to make some money pretty quickly, you know, and all depends on how much detail you want to put into the finishes of your product before you go to sell it. And then if you want to hold it for a longer term investment, I think the rental side is where you know, you'll continue to see a return on your money over a longer period of time, and it's growing equity as well while you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. I know when I first decided to get into houses, real estate, I tried flipping, but flipping didn't work for me.
It doesn't work for some people.
Because it was the time I got to flip it, you know, shoot, I had too much money in it. Didn't make any money.
Yep.
You know, so I was better off just to start from the beginning and just figure on holding it, you know. And,
well, it's not for everybody because, like you, I mean, coming from construction background, you wanted everything to be just right and perfect, right? And that's why you would probably end up with too much in it, because rather than pushing something to the side and saying, ah, don't worry about it, throw some paint on it, it'll be fine. You cared too much about it, you know, and that's what ends up happening. So.
Yeah, I would never want to buy things that somebody already redone, you know, like if they've already fixed it up, you know, and they're selling it. I'm like, I don't want that. I want something that I've got to I just as soon have to gut it and start over and put new electrical. I mean, if it's an older one,
for sure.
And it needs a lot of repairs.
Yep.
Put new plumbing, new electrical, so I know that I don't have to go and unstop a toilet, you know, and because the plumbing's terrible, you know, or leaks or whatever, electrical problems, you know.
Right,
you know, that's always been kind of my thing.
Well, you definitely have to be mindful of a few different things along that is, you know, making sure you get it bought right, knowing how much you're going to put in it, and then, you know, leveraging a real estate professional to know what's it worth when you get done, right? You gotta be fairly good at math.
Right. And that's so. And that's where paying attention to detail comes in, is when you're looking at it for the initial purchase, you need to know what you're buying.
And and if you're using a real estate broker, you know, you need to make sure it doesn't have to be any three of us, but the realtor that you're using needs to have a little knowledge in where that's going to be and be able to provide some data to where that's going to end up. Because if not, we've seen a lot of people come upside down.
Yeah, you can make money, but you can lose it too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, how about for sale by owner versus listing? Which, of course, I know you want them to, you know, want them to list, but what's the advantage of somebody saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to sell this myself?
Yeah, market
exposure. Why should I give up? I think 7%.
I think it's worked for some folks in the past few years just because of the inventory being so low.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're seeing a shift in, you know, people are busy with work and their daily lives. And when they put a for sale by owner sign in their front yard, I don't think they realize the amount of time that it takes to answer those phone calls, vet the buyer, make sure they're a qualified buyer, and then you're opening your front door to a stranger sometimes, and you don't know who that is that's coming through your front door to look at your house. So that's where we give our value to a seller, is we know how to answer those phone calls, we know how to vet those buyers, we know how to make sure that it's not somebody that's got ill will coming into your house and looking at it to buy.
Yeah,
that's true.
And my biggest, you know, positive as far as us compared to a FSBO would be
just a FSBO
for sale by owner.
Oh, okay.
FSBO for everybody out there.
I thought you were talking about some wild-looking character.
No, FSBO. Sir. No, sir.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, one of the biggest things
I've been called a FSBO before.
Have you? Yeah. Huh? I bet you bought a bunch of them. So what I would like to say, you know, add to that, what Nick had is all super valid points, but the exposure that you're going to get to the market with us is far more than you're going to do on your own.
How much more?
This is what we do every day. I mean,
what do you think?
Well, it depends.
More than we charge. I mean, we gauge that. I mean, that's not just, we're not just saying that because that's what we do. But, you know, we see it time and time again where a few different things happen. So like in this market, what we're doing is navigating multiple offers, right?
Correct.
So let's take somebody that is not educated on, yes, you can put a sign up in your yard and you could have somebody, you know, put together a contract or print one off the internet or whatever, but you know what we're dealing with today is we're exposing properties to the market, and then we're facilitating multiple showings because there's all this pent-up demand. So 9 times out of 10, you'll see a property bring over what we've even suggested to list it at, because we have navigated and again facilitated all these people to come into the property at once, and then we help you sift through the details of each offer to know which one's the best. Which right. one's which lender is the one that's not going to rope you along and then at closing day leave you hanging, or you know, like all these things that we have knowledge about because of, you know, doing it every day versus, you know, somebody not seeing that come up on them and then dealing with a heartache, you know, at closing day or whenever it might be.
There's a lot to be said about handling multiples.
Correct.
You know, that is
there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said. Even, you know, like I say, if people want to get in the real estate business and they want to, you know, having one rental property is a pain, a big pain. Having two is a pain. Having three, you might as well have 10.
Sure.
You know,
right.
because right. then when you advertise a rental for lease, I mean, you got 10 of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just makes more sense and you can afford a handyman a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can help navigate through once you get through the, you know, there's property inspections and there's appraisals and all the things that go into a transaction, you know, title work and all of that, that things come up, you know, they happen. Yep. And we have the skill set to work through that.
And I've rarely seen where, you know, with our exposure to market, I've rarely seen that the extra money that you gain with that exposure compared to what you're selling and you think you're saving at FSBO, we're paying for ourselves. So when we're getting you that extra money, it's paying for us to do everything for you.
Yes.
It's not making, you're not making less money because you're having to pay a commission.
Correct.
You're actually saving money in the long run. So,
well, that is very educational. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for no more for sale by owner by me. No, I haven't been. I don't know if I've ever did it for sale by owner.
Well, we've sold a lot of real estate for you, Chris.
Yeah, I know you have. I know you have. Well, I think we'll probably wrap it up. Anything to add before we close this session out?
No, I don't think so. We appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, again, as always, it's a great time.
Well, all right. Well, we'll see you around, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.